hello morning, after even sometime of the hello. Welcome to the Paul Fax Diary Podcast. You join me this week in a tumultuous mood. Cecil's still on his honeymoon, I imagine, unless you're listening to this not in 2018. I wonder if someone is. I seem quite quiet. I'm just gonna turn that up there. Hope that's enlightened me a little bit. Well, I'll just continue the diary reading. If you remember last week, I'd just come back from the pretending to be Down syndrome, and I was having a depressed week of misery because that woman Sonny just didn't want what to do with me. It was over. I was heart shattered. So let's just begin with the reading, Cecil, if you'd like to say that. Cecil's a little bit coffee.
Yes, and a little bit tea. Your mother's a little bit hot chocolate. And Paul, if I was to describe you in a hot beverage, we all know you would be a poverol.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. 26th of November. Yes.
I've gotten over Sunny now. Mostly because I woke up this morning with Mrs. Teddy Watkins perched atop the wardrobe with a tiny mask of Sunny on her face. As I know, it's Mum and Dad doing this. I got Mrs. Watkins and brought her downstairs and sat her in the front room and just started passionately and very erotically kissing the doll while Mum and Dad were trying to watch a gardening programme. Had Charlie Dimmock on with the big bosoms flopping about the place. I then rolled on my back on the floor and simulated Mrs. Watkins jumping around on my crotch like a sex person would. I told them that they're going to have to get used to seeing this, Mum and Dad, because we're going to get married within a week. It was at this point that Mum picked up Mrs. Teddy Watkins and threw her in the open fire. Then Mum sat back in a chair and told me to, what did you say, Mummy?
I told you to go piss off, you fat tit.
And with that, I simply went in the kitchen, and, well, never mind. I know she's only mad because I'd obviously rumbled them and their ploy, you know, to terrify me with this doll thing. And they just thought, well, I'll just give up now and just chuck it in the fire, etc. Anyway, I'm finally glad to be rid of that horrible Mrs. Watkins. Good bloody riddance. I know Teddy Watkins is ecstatic to be on the single market again, even though Brexit's happened. You know, he's a widower, and it gives him more character, more pathos, you know. Should anyone make a film of our lives, I'm sure Teddy Watkins is going to have a dynamic actor playing them. What a backstory he's going to have. I've been keeping an eye on Mum this morning, because... Do you remember last week I was in Mum's bedroom on her phone trying to ring that Sunny woman, but when a Spanish man rang her phone, and as we all know, Mum had an affair with a man called Pedro in Spain many years ago now. Anyway, I've been keeping an eye on Mum this morning, and this morning I shouldn't have said this morning twice, should I, Cecil?
No, you shouldn't have. Shall we go for another take?
No, don't be silly. Just going to go for a third reading of that paragraph. I've been keeping an eye on Mum this morning. No, there's a comma there, Paul. Come on, concentrate. I've been keeping an eye on Mum. This morning I caught her looking at pictures of straw donkeys on the internet and sighing very heavily, with a wistful look in her eye. Then Cecil came in and she closed the computer down as soon as she could. I gave her a filthy look, as if to say, "Yes, Mother, I know something's afoot." But she didn't have her glasses on, so she couldn't see me anyway.
27th of November.
I mooched around the house this morning, heartbroken and hungry. Huh. That sounds like the title of a song, doesn't it? I'm heartbroken and hungry. Should I go living hungry? I'm blue like a cheese on a Monday. I want the crackers of despair on a Sunday. She left without saying goodbye. No more of those sausage you fried. She's taken away her tasty buns. My stomach and penis she shuns. Maybe something to work on, who knows. Dad was not keen on it. Says it wouldn't work very well on the album as it's far too downbeat, and so far Cecil's album's got a very jaunty upbeat kind of feel. I wouldn't know, I've not heard it. I'm pretty sure they've kicked me out of the band now. Dad and Eugene keep going into the studio without me. It's not fair. It's really, really not fair. None of this is my fault. Think about my lowest ebb in life. You know, not so long ago, dear diary, I was millimetres away from kissing the sexiest model on the planet and seeing a full-on cleavage. And now, I'm sat in my pants, wearing a duvet poncho, eating 3-week-old digestive biscuits, weeping with the hidden knowledge that my mother's cheating on my father. That's it. Thinking about it. To quote the Bon Jovi song, misery likes company, I like the way that sounds. I've been trying to find the meaning, so I could write it down. I'll be back in a minute, dear diary. Well, booker. I told Mum and Dad that Mum was having an affair again with the Spanish Pedro man. Oh, Maundy Monday kittens. Oh, both cats. New Year's Eve kitten and Maundy Monday kitten are right behind my head. This is going to go horrendously poorly. Sorry, interrupted the reading. Well, poo-poo. I told Mum and Dad that Mum was having an affair with Spanish Pedro. And they both just burst into laughter. Of course, it was Cecil putting on a silly Spanish voice and ringing Mum's mobile phone to trick me. Hashtag FML. Forsooth, my life. That means, of course. 28th of November! This morning I woke up as blue as a chubby lad could get. To be clear, that's blue in the weepy self-pitying sense. I'd not gone cold and frozen. I was actually a little bit chilly because my duvet had slipped off my nipple area. As I lay there on my single bed, penis in transition twixt priapic arousal and flaccidity, it got me thinking. You know what? I've touched a woman on the bottom. I've seen down the top a bit. She even kissed my hand. You know, that's more than has ever happened to me in my life. I've no reason to be grumpy. Life's been good for these past 12 months, weeks, days. You know, I've even tasted strange and exotic crisps and quiches. I've seen sights I never thought I'd see. Two lady tramps kissing each other while drinking a blue liquid under a bridge in London. It was quite erotic. This has got me perked up. I got dressed and rushed downstairs into the garden and built a snowman. Well, snow woman, because I gave her an ample bosom. But not the lower lady sexy bits, because I've still got no idea what's going on down there, if I'm honest. And I will be honest. I found the whole thing building in just 17 minutes. I can build myself. Built a snowy woman. I found the whole thing slightly arousing, highly arousing if I'm being honest, and I will be honest. And because my hand had got so cold, when I went to touch myself, it wasn't like someone else's cold hand was doing it. And I think that's as close to sexual intercourse as I can expect to get. And do you know what? That'll do for me. For now, anyway. We'll see what bloody hell. I'm not deluding myself. I'm not unbelievably miserable. I'm not. I'm really, really happy.
29th of November. Have you ever thought about seeking counselling, Paul, or some kind of, I don't know, therapy.
Shut up. This was years ago, Cecil. I'm far more well-adjusted now.
29th of November.
I wrote this email to someone that I'm going to read you, and then I just sent it to a random name at google.com. I wonder if they'll reply. This is the email I sent them. Dear sir or madam or future sentient robot drone, my name is Paul Fax. I'm the chubbiest ball of human flesh ever to order a pizza from a newsagent's. I did this because sometimes I have a devil-may-care attitude. Now, I've never met any television personality or even seen a picture of one, but I imagine you look like a TV personality of some description. Therefore, you've got lots of money and are attractive to whatever sex you feel the most comfortable with having touched your genitalia. Basically, what I'm asking you is, can I have 500 quid? If you're a woman, do you want to marry me? What kind of shoes are best? Where are my keys? And what do bosoms look like? If these questions offend you, then sod off. All my love, Paul Fax. Worth trying it, dear diary. I've sent that to 15 different people. All different versions of Carol Vorderman at google.com. I didn't get a single response.
30th of November.
You alright, Cecil?
No, I've got a sore throat.
Right, it's another one of these emails, Cecil. These are tedious. Tedious, sir. Oh, the cat's doing a whoopsie, Cecil.
Oh, shit it.
It's shitting it, Cecil.
Why do I have to go and do it?
Because I'm doing the podcast reading.
Fine.
Well, it's fine. Go on.
What's going on?
What are they doing?
What is it you're playing at?
Can't smell any poo-poo.
Idiot, stupid.
What's the matter?
Running around.
Upset all.
Marty bums.
You alright, Dad?
Oh, it's exhausting, this Paul. Exhausting.
Alright, so will you ever sit down and just listen to my dulcet tones, Cecil? You're very old. I will do this. 30th of November. Here's another one of my emails I sent to Tony this morning. I don't know why. He never replies. They're all the same, these. This is the email. Dear Mr. Sir, good evensong. My name is Michael Caine. Not the actor Michael Caine. I just have the same name as him. Though I'm not sure that's even his real name, is it? I have no interest in going into further details on the various sections of how my name is similar to somebody else who's famous his names, so I'm going to end any comparison to me and Sir Michael Caine. Now, my main goal in life is to one day win a gold in an Olympic event, but I have no awareness of sport and also have very, very weak wrists, so my ability to lift heavy objects or throw things is highly limited. My ankles do snap if I move over 3 miles per hour, even in a car. So the only sport I feel I could be any good at is diving, but as I have a crippling fear of heights, I shall abandon any hopes of Olympic glory for me, Michael Caine. Again, not the actor. I blame you for all my problems, and I know it's your fault. I've seen you in the bushes at night with that lens. Last night I bit my own tongue so much I woke up screaming. Does that ever happen to you? If it does, then can I interest you in some products I'm trying to sell? Which, you know, you should buy some of, because of the reasons you've upset me so much, as see above my Olympic life streams that you've shattered. Number one, Indigo Moon Trance. This relaxation CD will send you into a meditative state within seconds. The gentle sounds of the moon landscape will send your brain into a lunar revelry. Now, some idiotic fools say that there's no sound on the moon and you can't capture audio from there due to there being no atmosphere. Because, you know, sound don't travel in a vacuum. But that's bullshit, because my vacuum's well noisy. Any scientist will tell you the moon sounds like panpipes playing a medley of ABBA hits. And anyone who says you can hear my wife asking me, "Do you want these chips?" at the 32 minutes and 34 seconds mark is a liar, and I will sue them. This CD comes on CD, cassette tape, or, if you want, me and my friend Brian can perform it live. £23 each. Live performance is £394, and we do need accommodation and petrol money. That's an absolute must. Shatterproof. This prosthetic hip for the over 80s is guaranteed not to knacker up after a fall down the stairs, or off a vestry roof, down a coal mine, or if you fall into a vat of recycled tin, anything, you know. The rest of your body might be horrifically mangled, but this hip's gonna hold up. Properly. Yours for £30. If you want it, that is. Car in the community. Taxis, huh? Who needs them? Well, me. But that's because I'm rich and important. You, however, are poor. Nobody likes you. There's the smell you've got. And, you know, you ain't getting in a taxi, are you? When can you afford that? Never. But with my new car company, taxi company, Car in the Community, anyone can get car-based transport to wherever they need to go. How does it work, I hear you thinking, in your stupid backwards minds. Well, my scheme works like thusly. You ring a call centre, though not before 11:30, because I don't get up before then, and you ask for one of our cars to come and pick you up, and then you give us the location of where you want it to go. I know, I can hear you thinking, that's just a taxi company, isn't it? How does it differ? And I say, oh, that's a long word for you, isn't it? Differ. It's almost 7 letters, well done. Countdown, you'd get some points for that. But no, my answer is simple. We're willing to transport scum like you. Other taxi companies won't. They'll turn up at your door and just spit at you. So don't ever bother ringing them up. Just take my word for it, use us. First start from £5.99, then it's £4.99 per 300 metres. Any more than that, and my dad won't take you. He doesn't go south of any rivers, ever. Now, You Make Me Sick is the next item I want to sell to you now. You know, how many times in your life have you had a woman say to you, "Oh, you make me sick"? Probably a lot. I know I have. Anyway, with my new device, we can cut down those instances by up to about 4%. What is this device? Well, it's a paper bag you stick on your head, isn't it? For an extra fee, we can get some tape that covers your mouth to shut you up. Because, you know, it's not just your stupid face, it's the things you talk about as well. Yours for £40. Tape's £20 extra. Now then, last item I want to tell you is the apocalypse calculator. Because, you know, you've probably asked yourself many, many times, if there's an apocalypse, would I survive? And the answer is obviously no, because it's an apocalypse, isn't it? Meaning everyone's going to be killed, dumbass. But let's put it another way. Should you survive? Well, this handy calculator works out how useful you will be to human society. And what skills you would have that would benefit the remaining mutant scum. Obviously, in your case, there's none. But you've got might got a friend who's got bigger bosoms, or, you know, can lend me £30. If you lend me £30, then I'll probably say, yeah, you're fine. You're all right. Anyway, please email me back if you want to purchase any of my products. And if the tone of my writing comes across as insulting, then that's because I hate you with a passion. You slept with my wife and I'm never going to forgive you. In fact, if you do order anything and send me your address, I'm going to come round your house, pull your pants down and stab you in the thigh. Or I'm going to give you a really, really bad, politically incorrect Chinese burn. Or if I'm feeling very, very vicious, an Indian burn. I mean, the burn can really be from any country. But I'm just going to twist your wrist. if you're not that guy that slept with my wife, then not bothered, don't care, don't reply to it. If you do reply to it, I'll mess you up. I will. Oh, my love, Michael Caine. Probably not that one that you're thinking of. Well, somewhat tedious chatter there from Michael Caine. Now back to my dear diary. The afternoon of today, I went and had all my hair cut off. It was getting quite long and flowing, like some kind of dirty hippie, or at worst, a heavy metal Satanist with the demonic music. But now, no, it's all modern and dynamic. I absolutely hate it. Mum and Dad keep laughing at me, and I think even Teddy Watkins turned his head when he saw the new me. The man put gel in it. It looked like a right ponce. I looked like I'd just come out of one of those boy bands that you've seen. I looked like I'd take that or something. Anyway, I had a quick shower and I've washed out the funky gel, and it's gone right back to my curly mad MP style, like Boris Johnson. But my mad cap and curly, you know, which is the look I've always craved. Anyway, I've lost my place, lost my place. Look at my face, I've lost my place. Scrolling, 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 right. Right, right, now for bed, and perchance to sleep, and I will sleep, hopefully, for this sleep will take me into the month of December, the best month of the year, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, dear diary, that does mean that you and I only have 31 days left together before I discard you for a new and improved diary slash model. I already have the new diary in the drawer, for I write it with my fingers first, then type it into a computer, and then years down the line I may record it as a podcast if that's a thing that exists in the future, and it is because you're listening to it. Sorry. I'm sorry to mock you, dear diary. You have been a good and constant... No, that's wrong. I've read those words wrong to you. I'm sorry to mock you, dear diary. You've been a good friend and a constant companion throughout this what has been quite a stressful year. And I'll be sad to see the back end of you. But, you know, I've got to look to the future. You know that. You've always known that. We've both known that. That's the relationship we've always had as diary and diary writer. Anyway, right, I'm going to bed. And a fresh new month. Oh, night, night, dear diary. Night, night. Don't know if you heard that, but that's my tum-tum a-rumbling. A-rumbling and a-grumbling. I've not had tea yet, it's 7:30 at night time. I feel like I live in London and we're going to have supper. We're going to have a load of friends sat round a table having a late supper meal. We're not. It's just Cecil and Margaret haven't bothered to put the pizzas in yet. Bastards. What time are we on now? It's 7:30, Anna. Feel like Devon from Knight Rider. Sorry. 1st of December. Oof. Cecil's just giving me the muckiest of looks.
I do the dates, Paul. You know I do the dates. That's the one role you've let me have.
Cecil, no, you've had two roles. You read out the dates and you watch the recording to see if it's recording.
Yes, and I'm doing both. 1st of December.
Thank you. Well done, Cecil.
It's December. Oh, it's December. Oh, the joys of December. The magic again. Do a poo poo on my eye.
Sorry. The joy of December's finally upon me. I woke up strangely 9:32 a.m. and rushed into Mum and Dad's room, ready for them to present me with this year's collection of advent calendars. I jumped on Dad's bed excitedly and asked him for them, and he rolled over, giggled, slightly nipped my cheek, and then said, "What'd you say, Cecil?"
"I said 1 minute, little man, I'll go get them."
And then he punched me in the testicles, square and as hard as his ancient fist could, and told me to fuck off.
"Yes, you little shit," I said. "Get off. Why did I do that, Paul?"
"Well, I mean, I weigh upwards of 30 stone. Everybody knows that, Geoffrey. And I jumped on the bed, knees a-floppling, just pounding Cecil in the testicles. I didn't know. Didn't realise they would be that long. I thought I was just in between your knees."
"You were in between my knees, Paul, but that's where my genitalia has sagged down to. Nearly 1,000.
So, I collapsed on the floor, crying my eyes out, holding my Willington, and Cecil did the same thing, but with a bit more dignity, I have to say, Cecil.
"Yes, the language that came out of your mouth was disgusting, and if I'd heard that language at any other day than the 1st of December, there would be a beating from your mother. I am certain of that now."
"Well, there was a beating from Mum, but luckily she'd just woken up. So she was feeling a bit weary and a bit teary, actually. She woke up crying."
"Yes, she'd been dreaming about Eddie the Eagle Edwards and how his Olympic dreams were dashed."
"She always has that nightmare, don't she, about Eddie the Eagle Edwards bearing down on her?"
"Yes, it's too sexual. Don't want to think about it."
"She just likes his prowess, don't she, Cecil?"
"Look, we've gone off the diary entry now. Can we not talk about your mother and Eddie Eagle Edwards? We've been over this in private. Don't want this our dirty laundry being aired. Thank you."
Sorry. After a few hours, me and Cecil regained our composure, and Cecil came at me in the front room with not one advent calendar, not two advent calendars, not three advent calendars, not four advent calendars, not five advent calendars.
"Shut up, you stupid tit, and tell him it was 25.
"Not six advent calendars, not seven advent calendars, not... Oh, you fuck... Ow. Oh, Cecil, right in the haunch.
"It's not your haunch, Paul, that's your nose."
"I don't even know what a haunch is. Yes, it was 25 advent calendars." "Oh, you bastard. I nearly fucking fainted." Mum, who had been napping, woke up smiling, which shocked me. They said that I've been through a lot this year, and they thought I could do with a nice pick-me-up. And what better way to pick me up than have 25 advent calendars? Ooh. I should point out that these were all chocolatey advent calendars. Each had a lovely little chocolatey chocolate behind every day's door. I am not at all too manly to admit that I burst into tears and just wept with joy for 43 minutes. So, the first job of the day is to decide what I'm going to do. You see, do I have one chocolate from every advent calendar every day, or do I have all the chocolates from one calendar every day? You know, because it's 24 either way. 25, sorry about that. I'll toss to see what happens. I said that to Cecil and he just slapped me again on the haunch or nose. So, and then he handed me a 50p bit and I tossed it and it was heads. So I will have one chocolate from every advent calendar every day as nature intended. Ooh, what's exciting, isn't it? Today on the Radio Thax phone lines, we had a phone in on what people got in their advent calendars. You know, because there's a massive range now of what you can get in an advent calendars. You can even get somewhere you put your own present in, which to me seems crazy, as you would already know what was behind every door and where that door is. They've not thought it through, have they? I suppose they think other people will make it for other people, but who's going to do that? Anyway, the best one was that someone said in Germany They had a one that had a tiny wooden carving Christmas decorator. Get me weepy thinking about it. It had a tiny Christmas wooden carved Christmas decoration behind every door that every day you build up a bits into an intricate wooden Christmas tree with a festive scene playing out throughout the branches. It just seems so festive to me. So festive. I want one. Tessa, I want one. Second of December. Pull yourself together, you stupid festive bastard. Ooh, sorry. Well, it's taken me nearly 9 hours and 3 catalogues worth of research and over 100 internet web pages. But I've finally created this year's Christmas list. Both for presents and for food. My presents Christmas list reads as follows. Present number 1. Eurotrash Blu-ray. Present number 2. A Spider-Man costume skin tight. Number 3. Any Blu-ray disc that has 3D. And ideally full female nudity in it. Number 4. To be allowed to watch rude programmes in 3D on my own for half an hour at least twice a week. Number 5. 5 bottles of Baileys. Must not be store brand, but must be official Baileys. Number 6. The dummy's official guide on how to woo a lady. Number 7. Beginner's guide on how to play rock guitar Blu-ray. Number 8. Unrestricted internet access, plus parents out of the house for 2 hours every day. Number 9. Sex in /or the city Blu-ray. Number 10. Blu-ray player, please. I haven't got one. Got no way to play a Blu-ray disc, thank you. Now my list goes on for another 76 items. That's just the top 10. I better not write down my food list because, you know, if I come to read this diary in March for some reason, I'll see a list of all the delicious food items which aren't available in the shops at that time, and I'll just get very depressed and very hungry. And as I've said many times, that's a very dangerous combination for a chunky boy. It's basically, my list is just all the Christmas foods found in the Christmas aisle at Tesco's. You know, the cheese footballs, the pretzels, the moulded chocolates in the shapes of Father Christmas and the whatnot. Today's best advent calendar chocolate was Marks & Spencer's one, which was wrapped up in tin foil like a tiny little delicious Christmas present, and it had the face of a smiling elderly witch. Could have been a wise man. Couldn't really tell. The rendering on the chocolate was a little bit poor, if I'm honest. I still ate it though, and gave it a little kiss. Not in a sexual way, just in a way of reverence and awe at such a festive chunk. I'm a festive chunk. Pleased to meet you. Please tune in next week and for the remaining 4 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know. For the diary is nearly over and therefore the podcast is nearly over. It's a sad time. Sad time for Paul Thacks. What's he going to do with himself? Is there going to be another podcast next year? It's 4 weeks, by the way. probably, don't know. If anyone wants to pay me to fund the website, then that would be nice. Would be nice. Just scroll down to the last entry in the diary. And the last three words are, it's popped out. I wonder what that's about. What could have popped out last thing in the year? Oh dear. You'll just have to wait and see till the end of the year. And I bid you farewell this week. And I do love you. And you and ba-ba-ba. Oh, what have happened to Jimmy Savile's programme? They're never going to wear that as a repeat, are they? Oof, I've soured that. What a sour note to end the podcast on. Bringing up Jimmy Savile. Cecil, I brought up Jimmy Savile.
Told you not to, you idiot. You're always trying to bring up Jimmy Savile because you think it's hilarious.
I don't think it's hilarious, Cecil. You take that back. I think it's horrific.
What about Rolf Harris?
Shut up! Stop bringing up celebrity nonsense.
Right. Fine. Fair enough.
It's December now, Cecil.
Well, you say that, Paul, but it's not December, is it? We're recording this on the 15th of October. And when people listen to this, it won't be December, will it? It'll be the 26th of November.
No, Cecil, you can't just assume people are going to consume this media the date it comes out, you know, just because you do.
Yes, well, I like listening to it, Paul. I find it heartwarming.
Not heartwarming, though, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, Cecil, that's the hot water bottle you've got on your chest.
Oh. That'll be the correlation, then, because I always listen to it with a hot water bottle on my chest.
I know you do, Cecil. What? Why are you talking? Can we turn it off, please?
Is it still recording? It is.
You sound well croaky, Cecil. Cecil.
Yeah, shotgun. What?
All right, listeners, I'm going to leave it there for you now. I hope you have a beautiful week. And, I don't know. Bye-bye.